Human design is a part science, part spiritual system that tells you who you came here to be. You have your own blueprint, your own way of becoming successful, your own way your dreams are going to come true, the way you'll experience the most joy and fulfillment. The instruction manual for how to move through the world is custom to you. When you act according to that manual, when you act as the real you, everything in life comes to you with more ease and less resistance. We all know we're different, yet we're still acting like there's one way to do life. Let's talk about it. To find out your design and the designs of the people in your life, you can visit myhumandesign.com or download the My Human Design app in the App Store and on Google Play.
Something I think people get tripped up in it when they start learning about their human design is there's all this information that they can finally learn about themselves that they do get stuck on. Like, what do I even do with this? How do I implement this? And something that's very nuanced, I think, that I've learned being around you a lot is that you're never looking at a chart or you're never looking at someone's life and trying to tie things to things in their chart. Whenever we've had realizations, it's always realizations about something that's coming out of us or something that we're leaning more, maybe a gift that we're leaning more into. It's always in retrospect that we're realizing, oh, interesting, that's my gift. Was it 35 recently that I've been talking to you about? Is that the nurturing one?
27.
Gift 27. We're always like, oh, interesting. That's my gift 27 coming out. It's never us looking at our charts and going, oh, I think I really need to be more gift 27, which is nurturing and caring. It's, oh, wow, there's this thing that has been happening in my life reoccurring that I've been exploring and working with. And since I've worked with that thing, all of a sudden I'm noticing this trait coming out of me. And then I'm attributing it to something in my chart. So I know this is something that we haven't really talked about at all, but can you explain a little bit more about that scenario and why that's actually the helpful way to approach this information?
You know, as you're saying this, what I'm realizing is that that's the only way I can do it because I'm a natural skeptic of all of this stuff. I grew up believing in exactly the opposite. I grew up believing in only hard science at the exclusion of spirituality. Now I actually know that they are, they actually converge and they meet at a higher level. But I would never want to feel like I am deluding or kidding myself into knowing stuff and then making it happen because I'm clung to the information first. I want the information to serve me and my journey. And so the more that we let consciousness come first and then use human design or astrology or anything as a map to serve that consciousness, it's such a different energy because, you know, in Kabbalah, they say anything that you put above the creator, everything you put above your journey of consciousness has to leave, has to fail, has to not work out. And so being dogmatic or worshiping at the church of anything, whether it's your phone, whether it's human design, whether it's, you know, goddess circles, it doesn't matter. Because you all of a sudden make something that was gold and you turn it into poison. So I think that's something that can really help people. And that's why I always say, if all you do for a month is listen to your authority and listen to your strategy and work those two things silly, you will see, oh my gosh, I didn't realize there was this part of me that naturally wants to come up because all of a sudden, not even directly, but there's space for it to emerge. There's space for my nature to show me itself because what you're doing is you're unbecoming all the ways you've been taught to be. And your natural self is always there anyway underneath it. So it is like dying at the seams, like to show itself to you, and you don't have to find it. You don't have to know it. You don't have to anything. You just have to be okay with the letting go of the constructs of who you've told yourself to be and how you've told yourself you have to be. And also the stories about like, I'm a person who likes this, or I should enjoy that, or I've always enjoyed this my whole life. When we cling to those things for a full sense of safety, then life is going to let us keep those full senses of safety, right? So it's us that have to kind of take the lead, and then life is going to take its cues from us. And so that's kind of cool when you're coming to human design first, because we are addicted to using our minds. We sometimes don't resonate with things, or we say that doesn't feel true about me or whatever. And that's because it's like a trick of the mind. Like, it's gonna be closed off to things that it doesn't agree with. And human design really does require this like leap of faith to your heart, from a place of discovery and admitting that things are unknown and that you might be wrong about how you think you are, and that there actually might be something that's even better, but it requires a certain level of ego death. And so, you know, a lot of people say, who am I if I'm not consistent? Because I've been praised for that my whole life. Or, you know, who am I if I'm, you know, if I start to show my care and for people, like, it makes me vulnerable, or I just have never done it in my life. So people don't know me for that. So then if I start being that, how are people going to receive it? So it's the undoing of all these stories that helps with then just allowing whatever's going to next come to you without you even having to think about what you're going to pull out of yourself next. But life is just going to start to surround you with opportunities for you to almost think differently to something or react differently to something when you look at the unbecoming of all the things you think you have to be. And that's where, like, generators have to listen to their gut, projectors have to be invited, manifestors have to inform, and reflectors have to be nudged by life before they make stuff happen in their lives. And it's so also a trick of the mind where it's too simple for us to even believe it, because again, if our mind is running the show, it wants to know 1,000 things and it wants to secure these things. But that's always going to be an incorrect way of making a decision, because one of the early human design teachers used to say, let's say, for example, you were trying to figure out the best diet for you to eat, and you decided that knowing more or knowing the information was going to be the thing that was going to get it right for you. Unless you then spent your entire life and maybe lifetimes consuming every single piece of nutrition information that exists out there, that would always be an incomplete decision if you were putting the mind in charge. Whereas if you put your authority in charge, your gut, your emotions, your instincts, whatever yours is, you don't need to know anything. You just need to be good enough at that thing and brave enough to do life differently than the way we've been taught, which is mind over everything, mind over everything. And actually, that's not where you and the divine meet. That's not the meeting place of you doing your co-creation. That's inside your body somewhere. That's the part that is numinous and mystical and unknown and ineffable and hard to describe in words and hard to understand in the mind and impossible to know what's going to happen as an outcome. But, you know, if you enter into a situation in an aligned way, it's going to work out. So then you can rest on that. And I think that is so wonderful that we get to do it that way, because I don't want to spend my life being dogmatic and afraid and analyzing every single part of it, thinking that that's going to be the thing that's going to change my life, because that isn't going to be the thing that's going to change my life. I think human design, it's such a delicate balance, because obviously when you first come to it, it's such a reflection and a permission slip to who you really are. So we never want to discourage that. But, you know, once you consume all the information that's in there, if you just do the two, strategy and authority, you cannot know anything else and still be off to the races more than someone who has dug down deep into my Jupiter is in gate 16.1 and what does that mean, and trying to make the ties and whatever. And this is where we really encourage people to be their own energy readers, which we are becoming even better at now. And we're getting the chance to be better at now, because you always know when you're doing it from a place of procrastination or clinging, and you always know when you're at it from a place of being relaxed. Someone asked me the other day, my cousin asked me, you know, this guy, she was like, how soon before you look up his chart? And I said to her, I never ever look up men that I date's charts, because I want their current way of being to show me who they are. So what am I hoping that looking at the chart is going to give me from a person that, you know, we, for better or worse, have the most expectations on? And again, that might be, you know, right for some other people to look at people that they date. But it's also fine to be more relaxed and chill about this information when you know that you're doing your part, which is the taking action on it. And you know, the more and more time goes on, the more I'm realizing how very literal human design is. But again, not from a place of you having to like spin yourself into that exact literalness. But for example, my cousin is, I believe she's making music, and her strongest sense is high sound, and her digestion is high sound, and her strongest sense is inner vision. And mm-hmm. she's literally channeling light language. And she messages me recently and is like, that's so literal. And I didn't even realize it. So she wasn't reverse engineering the career that would fit into the things that she's doing. She's letting her passion lead the way. And because she's listening to her strategy and authority, it's naturally clicking. And so then she can look at the chart and say, oh, that makes so much sense. And if you allow it to happen that way, you will see, and it never ceases to amaze me because I still am that inner skeptic inside. Oh my God, every single day I'm like, can this be real? Is this a thing? And then something happens where I'm like, oh, it's even more actually literal than we thought it was. And we have these conversations all the time where we're like, what? You couldn't make this up, that a 1-4 with quad right and da 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 is doing this and wanting that. And we couldn't have even engineered it better ourselves. But all we had to do is listen to our strategy and authority. Like, can it be that simple? And in doing so, you put your ego, your mind back into its rightful place, because you're showing yourself and you're building up this evidence that it doesn't need to be in charge. And you still witness good, amazing things working out that you couldn't even concoct it. And yet they still happen to you. And you're like, is this real? Is this my life? How did I do this? I have no idea how I got here.
We just posted a post recently. What did it say that a lot of people were sharing? It said, every day is an opportunity to become more you. And I think when you are really just focused on using your strategy and authority day to day, here's what happened, for example, with the gift 27. I remember reading my chart and seeing that I was gifted at being nurturing and caring. And it didn't really resonate with me. I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I see that in myself. And I hadn't thought about it since then. However, something that reoccurs very often in my life is this, thing, this almost like personal lie or something that I fight against, that is like, if I am almost like doing things for people, I'll get taken advantage of, or they'll expect me to do it for them. And that like feels very restraining and controlling to me. It's completely something that I've made up. I know that because it has a lot of charge behind it every single time something happens with that. So as that has been coming up recently, I've been working with it and moving through it and figuring out like where that's true and where that's not true. And as it's sort of dissipated, I've seen that gift 27 just come out of me. Like, it wants to come out of me. I want to take care of my people. I was literally driving up on a road trip with my husband, and he knows I don't even do this man's laundry. I don't cook for this man. Like, it's like a visceral reaction to like doing some of these caretaking things for people. And we're talking about how he has no idea what he packed in his bag. And I was like, just came out of me where I was like, I would really like to pack your bag for you. And it was, I knew in that moment, I was like, oh, this is me in my way wanting to take care of him. But also, I would be better at that job for him. I would step into that and do a better job at it. And then even we get to the cabin and I'm noticing there's only 3 pillows on my friend's bed. And so I went to another room and took pillowcases off and moved the pillows in there. It's like just naturally coming out of me as I'm just living. It's not like I've actively tried to be more nurturing and caring.
Yeah. And that's what's so beautiful, is that a lot of the times I think we put pressure on our gifts to come out, and we almost have these high expectations on them. Like, you need to then make me super successful, or you need to make me end up married or whatever. But what we miss so much is that you are going to enjoy being you so much more when you return home to a part of you that you hadn't lived in for a while. And you
forever.
Yeah. And you suddenly open that door. And then now, right now, it's with your husband and with your friends. But who knows when that gift has more breathing space to actually air itself, what it could do, what it could add to your work life, what it could add to your family life, the way it could change the way you eat, or, you know, the way you talk about your dog, anything. The thing is like, the gifts can't tell you what job you're going to do. You can look to your passions for that. You can look to your incarnation cross for clues, your life theme. But the gifts are how you actually show up, what you bring to the table in whatever scenarios are coming up. So I once read for a presidential candidate who had 27, and I said to him, double down. You have so much care for people. You think everybody does. You assume that normal people are this way, but like lead with that, you know? And, you know, you can imagine a president who we love so much because of how much care they show. You can also imagine a president who we love so much because they are strong. You can imagine we love a president so much because they're maybe a little bit actually more cold and more theoretical than they care about people, or both, right? So it really is about you will be appreciated more, and everything you do is going to reverberate in such a higher and further way when you do bring your gifts to the table. But then the best, we got given like the best shortcut and the most easy manual ever, which is just do your strategy and do your authority. And, you know, I want to get better at this myself, because we still end up in these spirals of it's got to be more complicated than this. And I really learned this summer that if I just pay attention to where I've said yes to something when my emotions were not on board, how I always ended up either canceling it later and then, you know, having paper something I didn't want, or throwing other people out of their alignment because I said I booked something and then I had to change on them last minute or whatever it was. And this is where, like, honestly, you have to keep your side of the street clean, because you're pulling on other people's threads to create this like false alignment from your mind that is wasting other people's time and energy, or pulling them into your stream when, you know, if you didn't want to see that friend that day, okay, wow, that's amazing, because they ended up needing to do something. I was supposed to see someone today. She had to cancel. And we're in a stage now where no one is, you know, annoyed about canceling or any of that stuff. She said her nanny was ill, whatever. And turns out there was like a huge accident on the road that I would have had to go on. And therefore I've had to not be in the car for 2 hours in LA, right? So these little things are just, this is the mechanics. These little things are the mechanisms of how it all works. And so when you can start to spot alignment in small things of where you kind of betrayed yourself and see what it's cost you and caused you, and maybe also what it's cost other people, that does actually also help you build evidence of, oh, I don't want that. I don't want to afford that. And the most amazing thing about this time now that we're in is like, we are all sick of that. So we're like ripe and ready.
And to bring it back to this idea of not being so heavy with information, and even how you said, like, I don't look up the charts of people that I'm dating, which sure, some people might do that. It's not like everybody shouldn't look up the charts of people they're dating. But when you approach it in this like super heavy way, it almost can become a form of conditioning on yourself to think too dogmatically about this information.
You cannot think your way into living your design. You can't think your way into alignment. And that's what we've been getting wrong this entire time, is like, you know, all the information that we consume, which sometimes is inspiring and sometimes it does line up for us and it is right for us if what that person is saying also happens to be part of our alignment, but you don't actually need any of it to get the keys to your inner wisdom and truth. And all that does is it's just kind of stroking your need and your clingingness to, I feel safe if I know, if I hear, if I learn, if I, whatever the story is.
Right.
It's actually the way that you create safety is understanding that there is no one coming to save you. There is no one that can give you enough there, knowledge, information, noise to solve the problem. And the problem is that we are afraid of the unknown. But the solution is we can become the known that then imprints onto this unknown, which is the blank canvas of life. And so we can trust ourselves more to handle situations because we've shown ourselves enough times that I have listened to my authority. I have listened to my gut. I have done it when it's hard to say no and just been brave enough, even if it does feel like jumping off a cliff, because I have done this for the last 15 years and now I'm doing something different and will I be okay? It always comes back to those two questions, is will I be okay? And is it going to be okay? Mm-hmm. And so the fact that you have those fears at the bottom of whatever your other fears are, that doesn't mean there's a problem. It means you're human. It means that that is the thing that we come to contend with that creates a necessary tension of dance with life. Because if you were born thinking you're always going to be okay and everything's going to be okay, you'd just be sitting and doing nothing and not in the game, right? And so, but nevertheless, those thoughts of will I be okay and is it going to be okay don't have to be real. And we come here to prove to ourselves that we have a piece of the divine inside of us that can create this okayness. And so the day your life changes is when you say, no one is coming to save me. I have to cross over this abyss of unknown, but doing this foundational, slow, sometimes tough work of I'm going to back myself and see if I can become my own authority of my own life. And that's why it's called listening to your authority, because when you listen to your authority, your gut, your emotions, your whatever, you become the authority of your own life. And so from that place, those fears of am I going to be okay and will it be okay just get smaller. You know how to handle them. You know how to sit with them. But you can't do that unless you've actually built up to yourself enough of that relationship where you feel like you are in charge of life and that life isn't this mysterious unknown force that is always coming to get you or going to go wrong, that you need to just, you know, somehow soothe yourself with this illusion that there's a solution outside that we just need to know, consume, numb, hide, whatever it is, for things to temporarily kind of band-aid that very existential discomfort that we all get given, because it is here to be our source of alchemy and transformation. Is you wouldn't iterate, you wouldn't express the divinity within you unless you did ask yourself those questions of, am I okay? And is this going to be okay?
And I think I felt like this conversation was really important to clarify, because especially because there is so much information out there, I wanted people to know that when they go and use the app and they're listening to their chart, to approach it with that lightness of like, oh, I'm not needing to like get heavy in this information, but to listen and just use it to reconnect back to you. When you listen to your chart and you click play all, and it's a playlist, it's you reconnecting back to you. And then when we have the tips, all those tips, there's a lot of information in the app. Like, we're answering, I don't know if you know this, if you listen to this and if you aren't an app user, but we answer a question every single day that is about some aspect of the chart. They're like mini little podcasts that you can listen to. And then they're all categorized based off of every single possible chart property that could happen and that could exist in a chart. And so for me, the way that I would recommend people using that is, for example, if there is, maybe you are in your life right now, like being drawn to the aspect of your digestion, go listen to the all the tips that have been answered about your digestion in a light way, in a curious way, in a, oh, interesting, can I see that applying in my life? And then let your life lead you to what areas of your chart you're going to focus on, and then just use it as a tool to recognize yourself more.
That's beautiful. And it's making me kind of want to say that if we all were born aligned, we wouldn't need these external tools to show us this stuff. But also, we have so much conditioning every single day, every time we open our phone, every time we meet somebody, every time we're in a room with a group, just any type of external something is going to be a conditioning force, because it's going to say, oh, do you like this? Do you not? Do you want to be like this? Do you want to not? Comparison, making you think other things. So the thing about human design is that it's you choosing a positive conditioning that is aligned for you. It's you reinforcing against all those external things that might be pulling you out. It's you reminding yourself of what you are. And it's more there for, as you said, like connecting to that feeling of what you are and reminding yourself every day, this is me, this is okay, this is my permission slip, this is what I am. And you will hear the words every time differently, because your consciousness is going to change. So you know, that's what it really is there for, is to support you in reminding you that, you know, when you do see a new part of you coming out, oh, it's because it's inherent in you, and you're not trying to be with someone, you know, in a relationship and trying to become more like how you think they, whatever, or the story. So it's just a measuring tool of, oh, is this reflecting me? And if it isn't, that's also okay. Use a strategy and authority and it will come to you. And I hope that no matter how much time goes on in our lives, we're always discovering new depths of each of these gifts and qualities, because every single gift has depths and heights that we don't even know or have witnessed yet as human beings. So like, please God, show me a different version of gift 27 that has never been witnessed before. Like, please let it not be limited to doing my husband's packing. I'm so glad I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm so glad I'm not there yet. I'm so glad I have more to go and more to discover. And that's the whole point of, that's why the soul is like so delighted to sign up for this journey. So, you know, and that's really the main thing that I, you know, dreamt of, is reminding people that it's okay to be your real self. And to actually discover that that is going to take you places that trying to be the way you taught you you were taught you had to be is going to just create the difference between a magical life and one that will always have limits on it. And more importantly, one that actually, no matter what blessings you create in your life, whatever you manifest, you get there as a person that you enjoy being. So all of those things can actually feel sweet. You feel you earn them from a deep grounded place. You feel like, I can take all of this in. Like, I can soak up whatever it's giving me. And I like the daily experience of getting up in the morning. I like the daily experience of who I am, because everything that we're going to try and get as a salve to us not liking who we are, that's never going to be the solution to that. Those things are only add-ons and fun. But the real sort of the real template is, if I like who I am, then everything, even looking at a tree, is 100 times better than it was when I didn't like who I was. And the same goes with everything. So here's to your rising. And I'm almost wondering if we should do some kind of challenge where everybody listens to their authority for a month and sees what happens.
We did. I think it was 2 weeks ago. We said, listen to your emotions. So maybe it's time. Okay. Like, listen to your authority for the next month, you think?
And let's all do it together.
Okay. I love that.
We'll put some more information on our Instagram when this episode comes out. But I think how powerful to all do it together and share stories and go in the app and share it on a forum discussion group and all that kind of stuff would be so much fun.
Okay.
So we'll keep you posted.